Arthur Fastow, Enron's former chief financial officer, arrived at the Houston FBI office early today and emerged half an hour later in handcuffs. He was taken to a federal courthouse, where later today he'll be charged with wire, mail, and securities fraud, charges which relate to Fastow's management of several off-the-books partnerships that pushed Enron into bankruptcy a year ago. In Washington, Deputy Attorney General Larry Thompson had this to say.
The charges in today's complaint describe a conspiracy beginning in 1997 and lasting through July of 2001 that reflects the panoply of Fastow's alleged criminal conduct. Not only does the complaint charge that Fastow defrauded investors by persistently falsifying Enron's financial results, the complaint also alleges that Fastow defrauded the company itself by stealing from the same clandestine transactions he had rigged up to swindle Enron's investors.
NPR's Wade Goodwin is in Houston. Good morning, Wade.
Good morning.
Larry Thompson also talked about seizing assets from Fastow. How much money would that be?
Well, a federal judge has already frozen more than $23 million that are held in various accounts by Andrew Fastow, his wife, his brother, a family foundation, and other Fastow associates. The government's also seeking to seize Fastow's $2.5 million mansion that he's been building in Houston's River Oaks neighborhood. All of this money came from the off-the-book partnerships that eventually doomed Enron. These partnerships, which went by names like Chuco, Southampton, and Radar, were designed to conceal Enron's debt, artificially inflate profits, and generated millions in fees for Fastow and his colleagues. For example, Michael Coffer, who was Fastow's top deputy, already has pleaded guilty to two counts of fraud earlier this year, and he reportedly told prosecutors that he kicked back money to Fastow that he earned through these partnership transactions.
Fastow went to court in handcuffs, and in previous arrests of corporate officials, they've also been handcuffed. The government wants us to see this, apparently.
There have been several reports about Fastow's lawyers negotiating with the Justice Department about the terms of surrender, and Fastow was said to be determined to prevent a display of him being paraded in handcuffs before the media. Nevertheless, there he was this morning, being led away in handcuffs in front of cameras. I think this is some indication of the strength of the case against Fastow. It may also be a reflection about the degree of indignation about what Fastow is alleged to have done, in effect looting the company to enrich himself. And I do think it's also meant to be a warning to officers and other corporations, fleece the stockholders, and this kind of disgrace will happen to you too.
So you can see something of the prosecutor's strategy based on what happened this morning?
Well, they filed a criminal complaint instead of an indictment. And a criminal complaint is a preliminary legal step that the prosecutors can use. It gives the government greater flexibility to show Fastow how strong a case they have against him. It also allows prosecutors to demonstrate to other possible defendants how strong their case is, which can ratchet up the pressure on them to cooperate. The government strategy all along has been to build a case from the bottom up. In other words, start with Fastow's deputy, Michael Coffer, who then tells all he knows about Fastow. Indict Fastow and see if he has enough information to then bring charges against former Enron president Jeffrey Skilling and former CEO Kenneth Lay. Both of those men have denied any detailed knowledge about the partnerships, but the language of the criminal complaint filed today is likely to reveal clues about the government's intentions and the case they have towards Skilling and Lay.
NPR's Wade Goodwin in Houston.